Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, peas. We're just letting you know we're going to have a couple of weeks off on the podcast.
We're sure that you're sick of us because we haven't had a break since January. We will be back. Send us your speak pipes for any snap peas that we may bring out in the next little while. But yes, we've got heavy book lifting to do.
We do. We've got a lot of Zooms.
Yes. And also, you know, you're half the Australia's in lockdown. You probably just need a break from the,
the
middle-aged school.
So we'll have a couple of weeks off and then we'll be back with an awesome episode. Yep. So we'll see you then, peas.
But before we'll see you then, if you want to come and see us at the Jam Factory. There is heaps and heaps and heaps of tickets. We're not even going to pretend that it's selling out.
260 free tickets to be precise. Out of 300.
It costs $29.
Yep.
It's on Saturday the 31st of July. You go to just Google Melbourne Podcast Festival.
It's at 4:15. It is at the Jam Factory in South Yarra. So we know, I mean, you know, if you live close by, great, come. Come on, peas.
But it's a cinema, so it's comfy seats. It's accessible. We would really, really, I want to sell 100 tickets, please.
It's going to be a live podcast recording.
Yeah, we're going to be really
have Nelly's fun. Like, we can't say any more about how great we're going to be. No.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you. Bye.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their eldest past, present, and immersion, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week's episode, we're speaking to a beautiful therapy.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We are recording in the dark.
We are. We're back to a Monday night.
We are.
This is original, the OG Kate and Mandy.
Yep, and about the same weather.
It is about the same weather. Yeah, because we started it 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
freezing.
So, freezing cold.
Yeah.
Blankies, hoodies.
Yep, we've got it all.
Yep. So actually, for those of you weather obsessed, it was 1 degree this morning.
It was freezing.
It was so cold.
Yep.
Anyway, I did take the dogs out to do wee and they weren't really happy. You know, they're just like, oh, and you're like, the grass is crunchy. You can see steam rising off them.
Sometimes I have to carry Rosie down the steps because she won't go down.
No, they're not
into
it. I
think fair enough.
I know.
But you need slippers. Anyway, we are back.
We are.
And we're sitting at our table.
Second week at the table.
We're very excited.
First guest at the table.
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay, how about we introduce or you introduce yourself. What's your name?
Okay, so my name's Lauren and I am a therapy.
Yes, you are. we'll talk about which sort of therapy you are as we get going.
Yes.
So should we start our questions?
Yep. Okay, so do you have a song or a band or music that you love that gets you through good times or helps you through bad times?
Oh, not really. I don't.
That's okay.
Our house is musical.
Yes.
And we literally listen to cafe music one day and Thirsty Merc the next and Adele the next. So I really don't have – look, probably Adele and Missy Higgins are my go-tos, but I don't have that song that just gets me up or
That's okay.
So
now is now the time for us to say who you are married to?
Yeah.
Sure, yes. I am married to Mandy's brother, Adam.
Who wrote our theme song.
Beautiful song.
Yes, who Maggie Beer and her team
did. Was nearly stolen by Maggie.
That was one of the best nights of my life when he he shot up so quick from the couch. I've never seen him move so quick.
I was like, Adam, what's going on? Maggie Beer has stolen our theme song. He's like, it's okay, I'll fix it.
I know. So the trick is if I need him to do anything for me now, I'm just going to mention Maggie Beer. Hopefully he'll get the same quick reaction.
I never thought of it from your perspective, how funny that would have been.
Oh, it was.
Because it was late.
Yes, it was very late.
The bees were losing their minds.
Yeah, because they were tagging you. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, that's why I thought we'd include it in the music part.
Yes.
Because it was originally called Marimba Man, but I asked him to change it to Marimba Woman.
Oh, okay.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said, sure. Well, I thought, I don't want a song called Marimba Man.
No.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
It's a great song. We love it.
It is. I know.
Everybody loves it. It's very
poppy. Everybody loves it. Yeah. So, I'm proud of him for that. Okay, next question. Did you win any awards at school?
Oh, I did.
I love how Roll it out.
Well, year 9 and year 12 were good years for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
year
good
nine,
years to peak.
Yeah. Year 9, I won a French competition.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Speaking French. De pas, de Philippe Soupour. Yeah. Don't know what it means.
Oh.
I have no idea. And also a public speaking competition.
Ah.
Yes. I spoke
we'll hear
on
the
being
French
a hypochondriac.
Tonight.
And I won it.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
What, as in you think you are one?
You ask my parents or my family, they'll say I am. I am naturally a worrier.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
I think I just, yeah.
Well, I've never noticed that about you.
Thank you.
So you're doing a good job of hiding it or masking it. Maybe.
<Thanks. laughs> Maybe she had her speech in her moment. And
yeah, exactly.
It's important now.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And then year 12, I in drama, I got into Top Hats, which is just a big deal. I did my solo piece on Madame Thénardier from Les Mis.
Right. Oh. You want to give us a bit?
No. Those days are long gone.
You come from a theatrical family.
I do. Yep. I do. I don't know if now this is me showing off or if this is an award,
keep going.
But then I was deputy school captain.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Beautiful private girls' school. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that is a big deal.
Yep. So it was a big deal. I loved it. It was, it felt like a big award.
Good on you.
I missed my most important award. I won an ice cream competition when at the local, do you know Pines Shopping Centre?
Yes, in Doncaster.
Yeah, Mum enrolled us in the holidays. I think Wendy's were doing like this, holiday program. She enrolled all four of us kids and three out of the four, we won and got to through to
three
the final.
Out of the four?
Yeah, we
ice cream.
Kate, she was taking her time. She was just slowly devouring it. We were like, hurry up. We could win a chicken at the local butcher in the
And she's a graphic designer.
She is,
So,
anyway.
Attention to detail rather than speed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So,
right.
They were my awards.
Oh.
Wow. They're pretty good.
Pretty good awards.
Diverse awards.
Yeah. We like them.
We do like them. We love it. And why are you a P or a P friend?
Well, two reasons. One, I'm a therapy, so I'm a speech pathologist. And then also I'm the proud auntie. Is it a chickpea? Is that the terminology?
Yeah, I like the chickpea term.
For Molly, Millie and Miss Ten.
Yes, you are. And also we could disclose that you are a twin yourself.
I am a twin, fraternal twin.
Yeah.
And were you born, do you know, were you born at term or were you born?
Yeah, we were born at term. It was Mum's third pregnancy. I think we're actually late.
Wow.
And how's this? I was 7.5 pounds and my sister was 7 pounds.
Oh, I know, and our mum's quite
my
little.
My mum's small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I know. So that's just a lot of baby.
She had proper big baby.
She did.
Yeah, she had a natural delivery. And I know that it was all like fascination in the hospital. Yes. She had lots of people coming in to visit, like lots of students wanting to see the twin delivery. So.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
I am disappointed at your wedding that we didn't get a photo of Dad and Uncle Gary, you and Kate and Millie and Molly.
Yeah.
Because that would have been cute to have all the twins.
The three generations.
Yeah. So, but anyway, sorry, we can't get that.
And do you look like your sister?
Nothing alike.
No. Chalk and cheese.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're both like one brother and the other brother. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. We've always been different. And Mum was always really big on treating us as two individuals. She never dressed us up similarly. Yep. Yep. She didn't like it when people referred to us as the twins.
Okay. Yeah.
It was always Lauren and Kate.
Yeah.
And I think I really liked that.
Yeah.
That obviously, physically, we looked really different, but Mum went out of her way to make sure we were treated as independent people.
And your mum's a kinder teacher. So
she
do you think that was a part of it?
Probably. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
She'd probably seen how you can become the twins.
Yeah.
And it is a novelty. This is politically incorrect, but I feel like little twin girls, people can become quite, you know, little matching dresses.
Yeah.
It can be quite a thing.
There's lots of cute photos of you too, though.
I bet.
I loved and I still do love being a twin.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't mind the notion or the idea of twins. I really liked that.
Yes.
And, liked always having someone wherever, you know, you went. And it was kind of fun to have another person.
Yeah, very lucky. Yeah.
But your sister's not a therapy.
She's not. No, completely different again. She's communication design. So.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about when did you think you wanted to be a therapy?
Well, Kate, my sister, she saw a speech pathologist when I was a kid, and whether there was a part of me going, well, hang on a minute, what's she a part of that I'm not privy to? I don't know. But I remember saying to Mum in year nine, I want to be like a teacher, but I do want to be in health and I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, so what can I do?
Right.
And she had sort of suggested speech, and I read up on it and I loved the sound of it. It just had me hook, line and sinker. And, so it was probably from about 15 years onwards. And I remember a maths teacher saying, you can't drop maths methods if you want to be a speech pathologist. You're going to have to do, you know, maths methods. And I was like, I'm not good at maths. I'm dropping it. I'll do further maths. And here I am as a speech pathologist
and I dropped it.
Oh, wow. There you go, everyone.
She was also the same teacher that said you won't be holding a calculator in your pocket. And we all hold calculators in our pocket. Sorry.
They must just, think, oh, man. Because it wasn't that long ago when they were saying that.
That's
so true.
So that was pretty clear. So you went to uni and what was that like?
Yeah, well, I actually missed out on speech pathology.
Right.
My TER missed it by 0.5.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
It was one of those years. I don't know if it's still the same with speech. Yeah, she was right. Where it just dropped. It went up and down over the years. And I just happened to be that year that just missed it. But it just meant that I went a longer route. So I just did an extra year of uni. So it wasn't
a
big deal.
General science and
health sciences and just transferred.
Right.
Yeah.
So and which uni did you go to?
La Trobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down in Bundoora.
Yeah. So caught four buses two hours later.
And four
Very hard to get there.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I've had a few friends
Unless
right
you're
there.
From
that
north.
Side.
Yeah.
Four buses?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a pain.
That's a commitment.
Did
you get your license halfway through though?
Yeah. But I sort of just liked catching the bus sometimes just to read, listen to music, all of that.
You don't have to pay parking.
And
you got time then.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Yeah. Sometimes my friends would drop me halfway. You know, it wasn't a big deal.
And did you do placements at different places? Or?
Yeah, and at that stage I probably didn't really know what area of speech I wanted to work in. So I guess that's what's good about placement is you can kind of just test the waters a little bit. But it's nothing like the real job, is it? So even if you go, the adults seems fun and then you get a job in adults and you're like, wow, that's nothing like what uni was about.
Yeah.
And so when you left uni, did you go straight into paediatric OT? Or?
Yeah, so I got a job down on the peninsula, private practice that also went into mainstream school and a special developmental school. So a bit of a range.
Yep.
And I was there for 2 years and then I moved to the place that I'm at the moment, which I've been at for this is my 11th year.
Yeah. Right.
So I work in a private practice called Cheeky Monkey Speech.
Yep.
And we're out in the eastern suburbs.
Very famous. It is.
Yeah, yeah, I know it is.
I refer everyone there.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have seen a few people that Mandy knows. She's like the Kevin Bacon of the Eastern Suburbs.
Yeah, it's everyone just a few knows degrees Mandy. From Mandy. Yep.
Well, I think people just ask me stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about this or what about that? And so I just tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you've got huge waiting lists.
We do. We were just saying that today. Like, we've just never had it before. Yeah. Like, before we might have 2 or 3 months, but then halfway through we'll, you know, call up families and go, actually, come in.
Yeah.
So now it's just like, if you're not closing your books, your waiting list is like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Awful. Yeah. It's just terrible.
Yes.
I was talking to number one daughter, you know, she's a pediatric OT, and she was saying the same thing. She's like, there's more kids on the books than we have, like on the waiting lists. And she's like, we're just hiring staff. Yes. But you've got to then train people up. And, it's
and before we were having parents sort of saying, what, 6 months? Whereas now, sadly, they're going, yep, put my name on. Yeah. So they just know that that's what the waiting lists
are. This is an enormous problem.
Enormous.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really, really is.
Tell us what it was like first starting out. Like you're a proper worker and you're, you know.
Were you scared?
Yeah, were you scared?
I don't even remember. Yeah. I probably remember early on having to kind of put a mask on and act a bit professional and like I knew what I was doing, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Totally.
And some days you probably still do an element of that.
Yes.
But
like us with the podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't really remember those early days, to be honest. Mm. But I just knew as soon as I started I was doing exactly what I was meant to do, and I have always loved speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Miss Ten was little, because Loz, I call you Loz, sort of married Adam.
Sort of married him.
Married him.
Not sort Some of, people call
I'm
him married.
I'm trying to use the timeline. But she met the girl. Like she's not. We've known our families have been friends. Yeah. Like I remember when Loz was a baby.
Right, right.
So I've known her forever. Mum and Loz's mum went to church together in youth group.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's really special, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yes. So you sort of came on the scene when the twins were sort of toddlers.
I remember babysitting them when they were young. We took them for a walk to the park and we pushed them in the double pram. Adam was pushing it and I remember him just, I guess, in an adult brain, just walking, probably enjoying the view and none the wiser to an overhanging branch that was at the eye level of Molly and me just kind of thinking, oh, that's my future. But also I had this feeling of going, oh, they're so young that they probably won't be able to articulate that to Mum.
Tell me.
We'll get away with that one.
I remember his 21st. I remember saying, everyone in this room, this guy can change nappies.
Yeah.
Because I thought, this is a catch. He would come over and I'd be like, help me with the bath. Take that one. Because he was 11 years younger than me.
So
he was coming over and he would help.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously didn't go for a walk in the pram.
Didn't tell him about things hitting the babies in the face.
But and then I remember when Miss Ten was little and her talking was just off the charts and you would love that. Listening to her chatting.
I was just amazed. Like, and that's one of the things that, you know, working with children with disability or anyone that has a communication impairment, you really appreciate when, I guess, there's just you guys have talked about milestones so much. But when you just see it come effortlessly to others, you just, on the one hand, you think that's so unfair.
Yes.
And you're then just in awe at how complex speech and language is.
Really,
and people
is.
Just take it for granted.
Yes, that's
so
right.
I think often I was just in awe that, that's just so easy for her.
Yes.
You know, when you had Molly.
Totally.
So it's just this,
Millie was like
that. Well, she was
Millie
like that
was.
Too.
She
yeah.
was like sentences where the rest of our kids were like,
she was.
Blue. We're so excited that they could say one word. She's ordering the whole menu.
What about Blue? I think it's Aqua.
She was unbelievable.
she was pretty good. And she can still argue. There's no tomorrow.
So can Miss
Ten. But I was thankful for that. I was very thankful for that. Yeah. But anyway, okay.
And so do you have children? Or?
I do. Yeah, I have two children. So 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that I think when I became a mum, I felt like I became a better therapist.
Yes.
And I don't mean to say that in order to be a good therapist, you need to have children. No. I don't believe that for a second. And I work with amazing therapists who don't have kids.
That's right.
But I just felt like on two levels. One, I felt like I understood what it meant to have your heart pulled.
Yes. Mm.
Just that emotional side of things.
Yes.
You know, seeing your child and just wanting them to fly,
yeah,
that sort of idea. But then I guess I just understood what it was like practically, you know, just to wake up at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m. Because someone's cold or someone has an accident, and then back it up with a day of work or what it, you know, running out the door, having spent all your energy thinking about everyone else, getting them sorted and sitting in the car going, gee, do I have my bra on? Like, have I brushed my teeth? Or that kind of idea. So I feel like it just, it, not that I went to have kids to help me become a better therapist, but I just felt like that was the other result, was I feel like I'm easier on families than when they come in and they say, I'm really sorry, Lauren, I didn't do this. I go, it's okay. I'm not here to test you.
Yes.
I get it, and it's fine.
That makes a huge amount of difference from the other side.
Yeah.
Huge. It really does.
And yet, some people maybe naturally have that.
Yeah.
And some of us have to learn it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's nice.
And your children, do they have speech therapy?
Well, my daughter will sometimes, if she notices that I, you know, am modeling something to my son or something, she'll be like, ah, Mum, don't do your speech therapy. So they probably realise, that I do.
Well, you can't help it.
How can you switch that off?
You can't, actually.
No.
Yeah, they don't know, so it's
but
tricky.
Yeah, she was picking up other kids' errors.
Yes.
I remember, you know, one of the teachers saying, oh, she's picked up that such and such is not quite accurate. And they say, I know, sorry. sorry about that.
No, that's gorgeous stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Aww. And so what age children do you work with?
Predominantly preschool and primary school age.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. So the youngest I would have worked with was about 15 months of age. Mm. They came for therapy, and then through till about 16 years of age.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about in the private practice, what happened when the NDIS came in?
Yeah, it was a really interesting one because I think before NDIS we had Better Start and Faxia.
Yes.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, Faxia. Yep.
And I guess for some clients, if they had a particular diagnosis, then they were able to get funding up until the age of 7.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they
had to use it by 7.
Funding. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we got it at 6. It came in when my girls
were
6.
That's right.
So then we had this huge amount of money that I had to try and spend, which sounds ridiculous, but it was just like, we could have used this. Anyway,
for years.
It comes in when it comes in.
I remember having clients on my caseload that weren't able to access funding because their child had a rare genetic condition that wasn't on the list.
Yes.
So even though that child was presenting with the same things and I was working on the same goals, they weren't able to get the same level of help.
Yeah, yeah.
So when NDIS came in, it meant that that was fairer, or that I guess was the aim.
Yeah,
so I think we as therapists and those families certainly appreciated that and were grateful for that change.
Was a steep learning curve, like behind the scenes?
I mean,
writing more reports.
Yeah, administration-wise, there's an increased workload.
Yeah, stuff for getting ready for reviews.
Yeah, yep. So you've got to justify how the family or the child has benefited from therapy, but also put out why they still need ongoing therapy.
Yes.
It's admin stuff, and unfortunately, sometimes families will get really late calls saying we need a letter now.
Yes.
And that's not the family's fault, but they're apologising to us.
Yeah.
But
yes.
We're the ones that are wanting to help the families because we're the ones that have rapport with them. So we don't want to say no. But, from an admin point of view, that's tricky.
Yeah.
I
just saw lots of deer in headlights therapists.
Literally hours, I know with number one daughter. She'll be like, oh, no, this poor mother's rung me.
Yeah.
Her NDIS review's tomorrow and they didn't know that blah, blah was needed.
And you feel dreadful from my end.
Well, and then she feels bad because she's like, can I give this the time that it deserves?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, stressful all round.
Yeah.
Awesome. But stressful.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember too watching Cheeky Monkeys do stuff like Lego days and different types of group therapies. Who came up with those ideas? And
I think just all of us had, I guess, speechies are naturally probably, you know, like OTs, creative people and try to think outside the square.
And play is a big deal. It's huge.
Fun.
Yeah, it has to be.
But on the same token, we did also try to start Mother's Nights as well.
That's
and I know that we got you involved in one because that was something that I felt strongly about in terms of being able to just have a night on offer for mums.
Yeah.
For them.
Beautiful.
Just for them to take a break or them to not necessarily hear from someone or learn from someone, yeah. but, yeah, just that idea of meeting other mums and going, okay, there's others out there yeah. who understand.
And it gives you a connection to the service.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're only coming for a bit of speech and you don't have yeah. other places to go, then you feel like you sort of belong there. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. yeah. Great idea.
Well, I remember great. You saying that, Mandy, as well, was it's different if you don't have other mums with yes. the similarities yes. that you have. So that was sort of what I hoped that we yeah. were able to provide was a mum's night where yeah. other mums were like, oh, there's people that are similar to me yeah. or are going through a similar thing.
Yeah. And you yeah. don't know the fruits of that.
No.
They might have caught up again, or next time they're in the waiting room and they're feeling teary, oh, there's the person that was yeah. up that night. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
no, it's super lovely. Important.
Yeah. yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You get unexpected friendships at those events, don't you?
Well, you just, yeah. And that's yeah. sort of where the sometimes the loneliness mm. is.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm. Yeah.
And, okay, so a lot of our listeners, swallowing tablets and things like that are a really huge, we get asked about it all the time in the Hangout. Do you have tablet swallowing tips?
Oh, I wish I could.
Yeah. But it's not really my area. I've even asked you. I've
yeah,
asked you
Mandy's
too.
Asked me before. Yeah. It's yeah. not my area.
Does some, is yeah. someone a tablet swallowing specialist?
Oh, they would be, yeah, yeah. definitely.
Oh, well, let us know. Yeah. Hit us up.
Yeah. yeah.
Because I know it's a huge issue
yeah.
for lots and lots and lots of peas. And it's literally the biggest milestone ever when yes. they need yes. to yes. swallow those tablets.
Yeah.
It's tricky stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's a big deal in our house.
Yeah.
It's like 15 meals of liquid Panadol. They're like, it's disgusting.
I know. You it's know, horrible. Yeah. I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
All the drinks. Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, because you don't can't taste a tablet.
No.
So much better.
Some of them, yep.
Well, it's yes, a big some deal. Of them. Yeah.
yeah. Yep, yep.
Oh, well. No tips. Sorry, peas.
yeah, sorry about that.
Ba-bow.
She's gone.
Do you have a specialty?
Well, I guess
like within
pediatrics,
the
yeah, yeah, in terms of speech and language is probably yeah. my area. So lots of kids that I work with have diagnosis of autism,
yeah.
ADHD,
yeah.
global language developmental yeah. delay,
yeah. Yeah.
speech sound disorders. That's mm. kind of my thing.
Mm.
Yeah, and that I love. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Tell us yeah. about what it feels like when you see a milestone.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was saying to a parent the other day, she sort of said, you know, a lot of people don't get it. I know we celebrate these little things. And I said, yeah, but they're big little things.
They are.
Like, and they're worth a celebration.
Yeah.
Like I remember this gorgeous little boy years ago, he had a diagnosis of autism and he was what we would sort of say using jargon or strings of babble, and he wasn't yet really communicating in clear words. And one of the techniques that we were doing in our session was sort of to follow his lead and imitate what he was doing. And I was chatting to mum on one particular day, and he sort of came up to mum and to the effect said something like, ba 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 da 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 da. And she turned to him and she said, da ba da ba da. And then he went, ba da da ba da ba da. And then she said, dabba dabba da, and then he walked off. And she turned to me and she said, I have no idea what I just said to my son, but I think we had our very first conversation. Yeah, I know. So you get to be privy to some really magical moments that I feel like in other situations people wouldn't appreciate those little big moments.
Yeah.
And time and time again, I get to see them.
Yes.
And I get to be a part of that and share the excitement with those families.
Yes.
You know, so it's, yeah, that's really cool.
To my eyes.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm.
I remember when Molly, we were in a speech group and she put her hand on her chest and said, me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like her first time. And I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. It was incredible. I thought, okay, I think she's going to talk. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Or she's, she's going to communicate.
Or she could do that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference that I've seen with the parents that I work with is – I'm going to be general here and say a lot of parents out there, they're so excited and we're so excited to see our kids say their first word. But the parents that I work with, it's this really mixed bag of emotions. It's excitement, but it's also relief.
Yeah.
You can just kind of see this, oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 There's something.
Yeah, because communication. Yeah.
It's massive.
It's massive.
And I've always said that whenever anyone asks me, you know, why are you a speech pathologist or why do you do what you do, I always have said that I believe firmly that every single person who walks this planet deserves the basic human right to be able to communicate their wants and needs.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not exactly teaching them to do a Martin Luther King speech. No. Yeah. It's teaching them, yes, no, I'm hungry.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I have help? I need the toilet. Really basic needs. But if there's a limit to their ability or there's this obstacle that's not their fault, that's in their way, to be able to help them communicate, however that looks, if it's through pictures or gesture or word or whatever, we're able to help open the door to them to be able to communicate those really basic but essential things that just allow them to communicate and be independent people.
That's
to be involved in something like that on a daily basis is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's changing lives.
Yeah.
Whole families' lives too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. What about, what do you get supervision? How do you sort of debrief and...
Definitely. I mean, early on in your career, you need to have supervision.
Yes.
You just don't really fully know what you're doing to a degree.
Of course. Everyone's the same.
But, you know, we always still come out and go, hey, I'm not sure about this. Yes. What do you think about this? And you just, you know, bump ideas and what have you.
So you have a formal, do you have a formal process?
Or we do at our practice. Yeah. We set aside time for mentoring.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, where we'll talk through particular clients or, trying to workshop anything that we're, you know, is a bit of a roadblock.
I'm going to bring this up because I haven't addressed it, and it is a big deal in the podcast because in the early days we were saying thanks. Now, Loz came up to me and said, I just want to talk to you about this because I feel upset that Molly can't help saying it. So, and I said to her, we've already realized that. But thank you. But I haven't addressed it publicly, but I'm going to do that now.
Don't say it.
So we're not saying it anymore, because also what happened was Molly said,
I don't want you to say it.
And this is probably maybe a year ago.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
We
haven't said it for a long time.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are listening, new listeners, you hear us say it and then you use it and that's gorgeous. But we haven't used it for a long time. But it came from Molly.
Yes.
But then beautifully Loz stood up for her.
Yeah.
And said, I don't want you to do that anymore. And I said, yes, that's right. And we were not.
So thank
you for that.
Yeah. I mean, it was exactly as you said, man. It was one of those things that it just never sat well with me. I sort of thought it's kind of imitating something that she
can't.
If she
help.
Could say it, she would.
That's
but
right.
But on that other, on the speech pathology note as well, I started thinking, well, when a parent comes to us, I say to them, you know, what's your goal? What do you want for your child? And if it's speech, they'll often say, I want them to be understood by others or I want them to be clear. And that becomes my goal too.
Yes.
But sometimes that 100% clarity you just can't achieve
for
whatever reason.
That's right. Yeah.
And I would like to think that my next goal becomes that we'll develop and harness that child's self-esteem.
So they're okay with that.
Yeah, that nothing stops them from communicating. Yes. And my concern was that if in that situation she was to hear, would that stop her from wanting to communicate?
I think in the beginning it's a thing in our family that it's an endearment.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's where that started from.
Yeah.
But we know better, we do better.
And that's why I didn't say it to you for so long, because I have the privilege of knowing you, Mandy. Yes. So I know you're the ultimate mama bear. I know how fiercely you love your
but
children.
But it was good to say it, because it then confirmed that we did the right thing. Thank you. It's not easy to say something to your bigger, older sister-in-law.
No. Am I still invited to Christmas dinner? I'll bring the chicken.
Yeah. She brings beautiful desserts. I will give her that. Oh, dear.
And so another thing that you've done is you've invented a little little. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Tell us what you've... I suppose you invented it.
Yeah,
created.
She did invent it.
No. I guess it's one of those little big things.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So my sister and I started something called Remindables. Mm. It just kind of started. We never ever thought, hey, let's go into business together.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, we just never ever did. We're on completely different paths. Mm. But me being a speechy, I tried finding this little thing online. I just couldn't find it. And I said to my creative sister, you know, can you just make one of these for a client of mine? Mm. You know, I'd suggested it to them and there's nothing out there. And so she made it up and then a friend of ours said, oh, you should just keep making them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So it's one of those things that you go, you know, remindables, the very essence of it, if you don't know what it is, are these little sort of tags that attach to bags to help you either know what you need to pack for the day, but trying to increase that independence so you're able to do it and not just rely on other people, or to act as prompts that you might need throughout the day. So I think on one level, coming back to that whole notion of if you don't have a difficulty in that area, you can take for granted that it's something that, oh, that's really basic, or why does someone need help with that? But if you don't have those skills or you do find it challenging, it's a really big deal.
Huge deal.
So it doesn't sound like much, but we get really lovely feedback from so many people saying, like we had one the other day from a mum who said, I'm a single parent and I normally have to do everything for my children, but this particular day I was sick in bed, I just couldn't get up, and they got themselves sorted. Oh. They got to school on time and it was all because of remindables. And that was really cool to go, it is a little thing, but it's a big thing.
And so you knew, you knew this is the authenticity.
Yes.
You're working in this field, you knew this was a missing thing. You made it. Amazing.
And I think for a lot of us whose children have executive function issues, it's the constant, like I said to Woody this morning, you've really have to do, and I might say two things, you know, you need to get up and put your socks on.
Yeah.
And then blah, blah. And he said to me, you just always say the same things over and over. I'm like, I know, because if you actually got up and did it. But, you know, like I think it's also annoying for him to constantly hear it. So that's if you've got a visual thing, then you don't, because you don't want to be a nagging, you know, and then, and it reminds them that.
Yeah.
Oh, my mornings are harder. Mum has to constantly talk to me. Whereas if it's just these little, they're really good.
Yeah, and beautiful designs.
Yeah,
Kate
very
did a
cute.
Gorgeous job. Yeah. Modern and and you've just been pivoting at every turn.
Well, and that's
come from people
who have emailed us saying, hey, do you have this? No, we don't, but we'll try, you know, when we get time, we'll try and add to it. The same with the charts.
Yeah.
We're just starting to release an adult chart because we had adults contacting us saying, but what about us? We also need some support. It's just one of those things that Kate and I both feel really strongly about, just trying to help in really just small but practical ways that make a difference. So
but what a big jump to create a business.
I know. know? And I'm not business savvy.
Nor am I. But you've done a good job, haven't you? Yeah. On top of working, on top of a couple of kids each.
Relationships.
You've put in a lot of hard work.
Do you know how many little tags you've?
No, I'm not a numbers person, so I would not have any idea.
Yeah, we need to get Darren to spreadsheet it or something.
Oh, don't he will?
Well, your dad, he would like that.
Your dad
wouldn't
he?
Well, how you? Do most of them get sold through your website or?
Yeah, we've got a few stockers
shops.
Another Coffee Apple has them.
Yeah, William Ready.
William Ready has them.
We saw that when we spoke to Julia.
Yeah.
The therapy store. So a few, which has been really exciting and fun.
And you've done a couple of expos.
Kids. We had you come help us out, Manny, and so many people came up. I thought eager to find out about remindables, but turns out they just wanted to know where Manny was. And it was so funny because I'd just say to Mandy, oh, someone came up and asked if you were here, and Mandy's just so such an extrovert and so good. Yeah. Oh, I'll go chat to them. Where are they? Point them out to me. I'll go say hi.
I am an E.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
No.
No, I love an expo. I'm like, wow, people everywhere. My people everywhere, Source Kids. Like, so good.
Yeah.
But you made, and Kate's husband built all your stuff to hang it on. And
stand.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, he is a builder. It was a pretty big deal getting to there. And there's so much that you don't know about those things.
You did a few school market. You did one about my school market.
I'm a pretty thorough person. I'm pretty organized, but I neglected. You told us about the high-vis vest.
Yeah.
So I didn't own one. So I stole my nephew's Bunnings little, you know, I'm a tradie in training sort of vest. So that was embarrassing. But I also didn't read that you had to wear steel cap shoes. Yes. Yeah, didn't know that.
No,
so I got turned
but I don't
away.
Think I did that either.
Well, I didn't get in, but then we did the old sneaky.
Yeah.
And Kate went in with shoes and then put it in a box and Dan came out and I put them on. And Security guards didn't pick up on that.
That was in the setup, yeah. Because yeah. I was setup, like, wow, yeah. the setup is huge.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Massive.
Yeah, trucks and cars. I've got lots of pairs of steel toes if you ever
need
them.
Yeah, do you? Okay.
Well, that's good to know. Four or
five next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Hy-Vee's best as well.
Yeah. I don't have the Hy-Vee's. I've got it at the warehouse, but I don't.
Okay.
You can get them pretty easily.
I can get them easily, yeah. I've got traffic cones.
Yeah, well, next time.
Flashing lights. Okay.
Big deal. Two full days.
Yeah.
They're exhausting, aren't they? Yeah. And those lights get really hot.
Yeah. But, do you know, it was so much fun meeting people.
Yes, like, it is fun.
I'm probably an extrovert as well. Yeah. But just, I guess, that talking to people and, you know, firsthand hearing them go, this is what we need or this is not what we need or can you change it to be like this? Yeah, great. Tell us and we'll do our best. So,
or people going, wow, this is amazing.
And they all have each child's name on them too. So, like, because I've got them for
you
Buzz
can order them. You order their names.
So great. They got their little bag with their.
Yeah.
And I think if you have twins like me.
Yes. Those things make a difference.
School bags look exactly the same. Well, everyone's school bags look the same, don't they?
It's true.
And then you have these tags that you can. I look at them every day.
Yeah, cute.
Whose bag's this? Okay.
Yeah.
I often get it wrong. I put the wrong laptop in the wrong bag.
Have you had any, like, critical people talk about Remindables? Like, other speech pathologists or, I mean, obviously people on Instagram. What do your colleagues say about them?
Well, I know the girls at work are really encouraging about it.
Good.
And my boss is super encouraging about it.
Yeah.
But, I don't – yeah, nothing beyond.
Yeah,
nothing
but if people
big,
said on Instagram, like these, you know, I've seen people of other speech pathologists.
Give
a shout out.
Cooey Speech up north.
Yeah.
They've been big supports.
Yeah.
So a few places here and there.
Great. Yeah.
Look, anything that scaffolds and makes life easier.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you can use your consumables.
Yes.
In your NDIS, can't you?
Yes. Yeah. That's
super
easy.
Yeah, really easy.
Oh,
excellent.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Talk us about the pandemic, the shutdown, the lockdown, the move to Zoom. I could see you just spinning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I didn't even know
the kids.
What Zoom
no,
was.
No, I didn't know. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I think it was around,
but it wasn't
mainstream.
I suppose business people knew about
possibly.
It.
Possibly. I remember a friend of mine saying, I'm doing a Zoom, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And maybe that was a December.
And then
tell us what that was like.
I mean, other people probably found this as well. It was a whirlwind at the start to try and upskill really quickly.
Yes.
And learn a whole new way of delivering therapy. It was, that was full on.
Yes.
I guess the whole notion of doing work from home as well as school.
Yes.
So being
two
a professional.
Children at home.
The amount of times I had a soft toy make an appearance from a flying four-year-old and just having to justify why my child dressed up in Batman next to me.
Mr. Four is cute.
Yeah.
Right? Very cute.
There are a few moments like that, but it was one of those things, like, online therapy has been great for some families.
Yes.
Some families have chosen to continue it. It's worked for their child.
There's no travel.
Yeah, it's
no
great.
No waiting rooms. Yeah.
But there's a lot of other families that it's just not conducive to their
learning. I remember
learning.
We did it a few times with Molly and her speechy and it just – she
doesn't
just couldn't cope.
No. Number one daughter said as well, the funny thing was, like, she'd be talking to kids and they'd say, okay, bye, and they'd just shut up.
Yes.
And then mum would come back, sorry.
My husband would laugh because he'd hear me say things like, okay, can you just take the blue tack off the camera?
Yeah.
Can you just come up from underneath the table? Or their parents have gone out of the room.
Yes.
And you're sitting there to dead air just going, come back.
I know.
Come back. You can't do anything.
Nah. And so, number one daughter, one of her kids locked himself in the room. So the mum was like, can you, I'll try to ring you. And she's like, it was so funny. But this is you know, precious therapy time.
That's true. Yeah. I think for me, what I found was really difficult beyond the having to upskill. I was able to adapt. I was able to change. Yeah, it was a different style of therapy. Yeah, we got there. But I think the hard thing was, particularly in the big lockdown, was the fact that you were logging on and you were invited to these families' homes. Yes. And all of a sudden, you'd never seen before.
No.
And you weren't. You know, normally I use your line, Mandy, of how are you today?
Yeah.
And you didn't need to ask that because you could just see families were exhausted. Yeah. They were tired. They were over it. Yeah. They were stressed.
Yeah.
And having to come into that.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them, I remember, in the morning sessions, they'd actually watch the Dan Andrews conference.
Yeah, and so you'd be.
And would then say at the screen, oh, have you just heard the cases are up to 300? Or, you know, we're locked down for another 3 weeks. So sitting there professionally going, oh, okay. Okay, let's. Oh, let's have another go at trying to say
You know, like
it was this really weird time. I mean, you guys know it, but collectively as a society, we were going through this really phenomenal event that none of us had ever experienced, trying to learn our way through it. But then at this weird time, still kind of wearing this professional hat in those moments of having to keep going with therapy. It was really, really hard. Oh, and the days in themselves were quite exhausting.
They were. It's really exhausting.
A different level of.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's, and you get energy from people.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, barrier. Like, we even notice when we do this little podcast, it's better if the person's here.
That's right.
But, you know, obviously we couldn't do it for nearly a year.
No, that's right.
I really felt for the families. I had one last week with our little snap lockdown.
Yes, of course.
And 15 minutes in, I just turned to this amazing mum who, the poor thing, she just looked exhausted. Yeah. She's just, stop throwing that at the screen. No, come back here. Yeah. Just eat this. Just sit still. And I just said, do you know what? We can't do this anymore. It's just not working for you, for him. And she just said, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just need permission.
We can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's some wisdom, isn't it, from you to be able to say, look, we'll, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think the hard thing is, though, we don't know where it's gonna go. So for families that have NDIS funding, they need to be shown that they're using their funds.
Yep.
But when the child isn't benefiting from therapy, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, I think I just had my review and I was able to say she just couldn't cope. Yeah. So I felt like I got a good response from that.
Yeah.
So I just want people to know that. You can actually say that.
And that's what I've been writing in my letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to consider that.
Yeah, that's right. And you can say teenager.
Yes.
Right? So I've said that the last 2 years. If there was something tricky, I'd just say, well, teenager.
Yeah.
And they go, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a time. My goodness.
The social group ones are fun, seeing the kids play with their filters and backgrounds and change names and you're trying to act all, hey, guys, let's attend and pay. But you're sniggering, going, oh, that's a great filter.
You know?
Yeah. It's sort of like the specialist school when I would come in and watch that and I'd be like, this is just gold.
Oh.
No, people, you're missing out on seeing this.
Yeah.
You know? So gorgeous and funny. Yeah.
And when they kids just realise that you can like have sound effects after the teacher talks. And you're like, oh. She's like, who's doing that? You're like, oh, this is so funny. There were lots of really funny times.
There really, really was. I remember missing, you know, Miss Ten's piano lessons about 10 times and I would just come flying in. But even Amy, our support worker, she was like, I missed it too, Mandy. Like there was two of us, we missed it every week. Like how could I? And I'd just come flying in sideways going, I'm sorry. chaos. How do you think, like for a mum like me where I felt like I was constantly coming in chaotic, how do you – I remember saying 2 years ago, sometimes it's good enough for them just to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that helpful for me to say that to you?
Oh, yeah.
Because I just wanted you to know that it's just enough for that mum to have got there.
Yes, it was a really helpful thing to say. Like in terms of face-to-face clinic, the amount of time, you know, mums, I'll be general, will come in and, you know, apologise and say, I'm really sorry we didn't get done any of the stuff that you suggested, or I'm really sorry we're late, or we forgot our homework folder.
Yes.
And now I just say, it's okay. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Great.
Yes. Or take a seat. I've got this for the next 45 minutes. Yes. You catch your breath. You know?
Praise.
But that's wonderful. I learnt from you because that's where this sort of podcast is really valuable. useful for us professionals to go, okay, well, that's stuff that textbooks don't teach.
No. Yes.
So to hear that side of the story and you hope that we pick it up naturally, but sometimes we don't.
No.
To hear that, it's really helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd just been to that many appointments. I just couldn't wait to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I think this will be the difference for you.
Well, I think it's one of those things like, I don't know, if some kids do reading recovery and then they slip back into the reading school and it's all fine.
Hmm.
And other kids do reading recovery and then they have to go on and do something else and something else and something else. So for the parent that just does reading recovery, it's quite easy to be enthusiastic.
Yeah.
The person that's doing it for 15 years, some weeks it's not, you're not going to be enthusiastic. That's so it's a lot of these therapies are long haul.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think that's what is special for those that do have a speech pathologist in their life. They'll know this, but 9 times out of 10, once you assess someone, you then go on to do therapy. And you do therapy exactly for the long haul.
Yes.
So kids are coming weekly or fortnightly for a number of years. Yes. And then you even go on to see their brother or their sister or their friend.
Nice. Yes.
So you really get to know the families quite intimately.
Yeah, you really do.
You know, you see them more often than you see some of your own extended family.
Yes.
So you get to know them. Mm. And I think you quite quickly say to the parents, we're not here to test you.
Yeah.
We're on your side. We're here to support you. You know, it's okay.
Awesome.
We're not judging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone else has good and bad weeks and good days at work and bad days at work.
Of course.
And, you know, and then we sort of feel like we have to make our kids always have good weeks.
Yeah. No. Well, you'll know when they don't.
Can you tell when the parents are lying?
Can you?
We did this every day and you really didn't.
I feel like I can, but I don't care. I know you don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a good relationship with most of my family. Yeah. They're just so honest and go.
Yeah. I don't really lie.
No,
but. Yeah, but you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But probably. Then you just ask the kids. You go, so mum said now we have.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be screwed.
Oh, yeah. No. You have to tell the truth. But, you know, maybe there are times when you sort of said embellish a little bit.
Well, it is funny watching the parents. Oh, well, we did in the car, remember? Just on our way in, remember?
That is totally being me. That's so true.
Yeah, I can see it all.
What a job, hey?
Awesome
Brilliant.
Job.
Brilliant. Awesome job.
Yeah, we love our... All of allied health.
Yes.
I mean, all the therapists.
And I think we didn't realise that with the podcast that the therapies would listen.
No.
We had no idea about that at all. So that's blown us away.
Yeah.
And the amount of emails we've received have totally changed how I work. I have changed my life. Like,
we've had beautiful gifts, actually, therapists
we
who
have.
Are just like, this has been a game changer.
Yeah,
and
this is more than I learned at uni.
Yeah,
like,
exactly that. I remember saying to the girls at work, you have to listen to this, not because I know the person involved, but you will learn so much.
Like,
we get told we have to attend PD, evidence-based learning, all of that, and that has a place, no doubt. But that ability to listen to first-hand stories, real accounts, and just strip that all back and take off that kind of – because I'm very much in the mentality of the professionals don't necessarily know what's best.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be a team. We have to constantly be going to families. Mm. Well, you tell me, what should we be doing? What am I doing that's not right to you? Or you tell me your gut instinct. What do we need to change here? You know your child.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like your podcast is just so good at teaching us professionals what we need to do better.
Mm.
So, yeah, thank you guys.
Who knew?
I mean, it's a worry.
It definitely was not a grand plan that we
it
had.
It definitely was not. It never even planned. Occurred to me. Yeah. That never occurred to me.
No, well.
Or doctors or anything, you know?
Mm, no. Well, they've never listened to us before, have they?
No. Shane.
Shane has, yeah.
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 Tell us about, I know you did like worked with the family, like home visiting. What was that like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, the home visits, I like them. I probably stay a little bit too long because I get to know the families and I just get really comfortable. But it was a different sort of thing because you're out of your therapy walls and your environment, and you kind of have to really make sure that you're engaging the client and really meeting them where they're at.
Yep.
So I came with a little platter of food I knew that this client liked. wraps and chocolate and strawberries. Yeah. And, yeah, I think when I saw their eyes light up, I was like, I've got them.
Yeah.
This therapy session,
right.
We've got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was
so good. You could sort of tailor it more to the child in the home?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, those particular goals, I made sure that we weren't just eating food, but we're working on very specific goals to do with conversation building and, you know, interaction while you have a meal.
Yes.
And then also, you know, just do you grab everything off the platter without checking if the other person wants something first? Yes. All those social skills behind something as simple as sharing a meal with someone. Yeah. So,
well, it's pretty a huge part of your life.
It is a huge part.
Sharing meals with people.
Yes.
It is. That's
right. It's, really tricky to teach too.
You took this person out with a friend too.
Yes,
didn't you?
Yeah, we Tell did. Us about that. A mini, I guess it was sort of like a group interaction sort of thing, like a paired interaction. And I took them to Grilled, I think, if my memory serves me correct. And yeah, encouraged them to order their meal. So the language we kind of role played and workshop what that looked like, that simple act of, you know, hi, can I have chips? Is really tricky for some people. So, and that's not even taking into account potential anxiety that's there, regardless of the language.
Yep. Yeah.
So, we were working on that act of ordering it. And then again, when they were sitting at the table together, how they interacted during that meal.
Yes.
You know, as simple things like how they did they wipe their mouth when the sauce spilt all over their lips?
Yeah, it was huge.
Or, you know, so a whole range of social skills, language skills. Yeah, all of that.
I feel like that's a huge sort of gap in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do wish I could do that more, to be honest. But,
well, and you can't have one-on-one with a child.
No.
Yeah, so
it's
very cost prohibitive.
But I guess I hope that's where support coordinators are coming into it a bit more, being able to take them in the real life.
Or even like have a session, support worker have a session with the speech pathologist. So when we go out to do our ordering, these are some of the things to look for.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think I could definitely do that.
So all of your visits, most of your visits are in your office.
So I used to do more going into homes more on the road, but now it's for me it's more clinic based.
Well, then you can see more people.
Oh, well, that's right. Of course. I mean, I stopped doing home visits as a sleep consultant just for that time. I totally understand that. Possibly the idea of support workers getting specialized sort of, you know, a session.
To
then go out and do that sort of stuff sounds awesome.
Well, I think so. And really, like, I know that my daughter, who's the OT, says often the teacher's aide in the classroom knows everything that's going on. And she's him or her as actually the person to talk to.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, the support coordinator probably says a lot of things.
And I sometimes have an aide come to our therapy session.
Oh, do you?
And it's really helpful because all of a sudden they see what you're working on and they can take that and work on that in their day-to-day, day after day.
I think it's really helpful.
So it's really helpful.
Yeah.
It's that team. You want that team approach.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah.
I've got a chapter in the book called Therapy.
We do.
And there's a bit of that in there.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So, you'll have to read that. On the 20th of July, or listen to us. But we want to pump that up all the time.
Well,
We have to. Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world about being a speechy or?
Maybe just to parents that have a speech pathologist in their life that to just if you're confused, if you're unsure, if you're worried, if you don't know what your speech is doing and you don't agree with them, voice that, just have that that communication with them because I've never met a speechy who doesn't want to help. We want to help.
Yes.
And I feel like for me, one of my struggles with being a speech pathologist is when you don't see progress, when you don't see change because you feel an extraordinary large amount of guilt because the very essence of what my role is to help.
Yes.
And when I'm not helping, what use am I?
Oh.
So I feel like for families, I try to say to my families, tell me, am I on the right track? Yeah. Am I doing the right thing? What can we do together to make this awesome. Better?
Yeah.
If you have the courage to, you know, have those tough and sometimes awkward conversations, do it because, it's you worth know, it. Yeah, it's worth it. Yeah. And hopefully you have a speech pathologist who hears that and listens to that. But,
That's really good advice.
Excellent
advice.
Because it's
really, especially your first time or your first few months in the system, it's hard. It's sort of hard to do it.
It is very hard to do it. So. But by the time of 16 years, you get a little bit bold and possibly a bit brash myself. I'm speaking about myself.
Well, I think it's the same as a working professional. When I first started, the conversations or how I talk to families has differed to how I do now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm much better at saying the truth to families, but in a careful and kind and considered way. Mm. Yeah. Whereas in my first few years, I probably fluffed around a bit with the words and I wasn't confident enough.
You were young.
You know.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think if someone, you know, if you genuinely are like, I don't think this is clicking for my child, and you don't say anything, then you're letting everyone's getting
let
down.
Well, then you'll just not go.
That's right.
And then that's detrimental to the child, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But I think, we speechies, we do care. And I'll often say to families, you know, my role as your child speech pathologist is to be one of their biggest supports and one of their loudest cheerleaders. Mm. And, you know, don't let the diagnosis or this assessment define them. You know, this is just a part of their story. It's not their entire story.
Yeah, beautiful.
So
yeah.
If you have concerns or you don't think we're on the right track, talk to me. Let's work it out together.
Yeah. Oh, well
you know,
done. So. Yep. Now she's going to have an 18-month waiting list.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, that was a lovely thing to share. You. Yes. Thank you so much
for
coming in. It was lovely to have you. I know. We just can't get to everyone enough.
No, we can't.
I want more therapies. I've got AIDS, school. We've got people coming. So the more of the P tribe, the better. So thank you. Thanks for being a lovely sister-in-law, loving my girls.
Yep.
You are
and
welcome.
We really love you too and your family. So thank you.
Aw, thanks, girls.
Okay, Mandy.
Oh, wasn't that gorgeous?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's special having people in my life.
Yeah.
Come. I love, you know. Yeah,
people that we know.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about.
What made you cry, Mandy?
Okay. I got binged for the 2 weeks.
Yes.
But actually, I've decided to keep it for a month. I thought it's pretty good. So I watched all of season 10 of Call the Midwife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just, I think it's my number one favourite show.
Wow. Okay.
Yep, I think it is.
Yep.
Which is a big thing.
Yep.
But those who love it will know.
Yep.
And you just cry every single episode.
Yep.
But there was a beautiful episode of a family getting the diagnosis of Down syndrome.
Oh, yes.
And they just do such a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, I just cry every episode.
Oh, I love it.
Sister Monica Joan. I just love all those. All of them. So, yeah, I just cry in a beautiful cry. I also watched the end of Love on the Spectrum and I just sob.
Yep.
Yeah, and I know there's all sorts of feelings about it, but I love it.
Yeah, I know there's lots of feelings and I understand the issues that I have is that sometimes you feel like the people presenting the social skills are sort of making them be what they're not.
Yes.
But I know for my boys – they really like it.
Oh, we
and
love
so
watching it.
Representation matters.
That's right. And my whole family loves watching it.
Yeah. So, but of course, everything has rights and wrongs, and you and I aren't going to know. We don't know.
No, I'm not going to know. Yeah. All that I know is I just
and
love
people
Ronan.
Really do like it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ronan and Katie. Oh, they're just so beautiful.
Yeah. I love it.
I just loved it. Yeah. So it's I cried with joy. I actually cried with joy. Just look at these people.
Yep. Well, my cry was sort of. I was emotional because I didn't cry because it hurt. I was very emotional to get my Pfizer, my first. I was like, it was the weirdest experience. Like if you'd have said to me 2 years ago, you're going to go into the city, stand in a big queue with people you don't know, all wearing masks, and go into a little cubicle and have a needle, I'd be like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like what world would that be happening in?
Yep.
And then everyone was so jubilant. Like we're all like,
we're doing this, Melbourne.
Yes.
We got through the line.
Yes.
We got through on the phone.
Yes.
And here we are.
Successfully booked. Yes. And now I'm here. Oh. And then the nurse that I had giving me the injection was, I feel like I have a sign on me that says, please tell me your life story. So people were coming between me, leaving, and I was still there. So 15 minutes she chatted for me, and then you have to wait 15 minutes after. Yeah. So B-friend Lorraine took me in and she's like messaging me, are you all right? Like, because,
yeah, I've just met my new best friend.
She's in the nurse. It's like, I think you and I are kindred spirits.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wow. Okay. I would like to leave. I found everything out about her. But
did you?
Oh, everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Her brother was a heroin addict.
Wow.
Yeah. Went down. Her mother had passed away. She loves renovation shows. Never owned a mobile phone in her life till she got this job.
Oh.
Everything. Anyway, I got my jab 3 weeks. I'm going back to
good
the
on
next
you.
One.
Yep. Good on you. I am trying.
Yeah.
To get through.
No, just go online.
I did, but then everywhere I wanted to go was all shut down.
No, you have to go down. In the city.
Okay. I was trying to go closer.
No. They're booked out till Christmas.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'm stuffed. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What made a difference?
I want me to go again?
Oh, yeah,
back
sure.
Back it up, back to back. All right. So, well, obviously the biggest thing that made a difference in both of our lives this week was actually touching that book.
Oh, that's mine as well. Yeah.
I mean, we touched the actual book. So, and finished reading it.
Yes.
It was really, really, really good.
Really good. I read it all and you laughed. Oh, no, who laughed at me when I said I'm reading it? Someone laughed at me. Yeah, you. And I was like, because I said, I can't wait to read it.
We've just spent 6 days reading it. But, yeah, only our own bits though.
Yeah, but I just wanted to read it in its end form.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have started to read it, but I've been a little bit busy. But, yes, I will read my own book.
Yes.
But, and the last, so I went quite late on Friday reading it, and then I was starting to get fun. Like, you know when you're tired? Because I'd worked all morning.
Yeah.
I did a really early morning. Then I did 6 hours of book, I think.
Yes.
And so I was, like, singing stuff, and then he was singing to me, and I was like, we are losing hysterical. It here,
both of us.
And he's like, I've got to drive to Shepparton now. Anyway.
It's such an intimate time.
We bonded over Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name Of, being both of our favourite songs.
Oh,
so,
right.
It was really, really nice, actually. It really did make a difference. And then Scholarship picked up the book and she said, is this going to sound like one of my Year 11 English assignments?
Oh, maybe. You helped her. Yes.
All right, what was your difference?
Yep, well, that was mine as well. So, okay, touching my own book. And then I sorted out my pantry.
Yes. I have been inspired.
I know.
I am going. I spoke to the kids about it today.
20 years it's taken me. But in that lockdown, I was so sad and I thought, well, I was at Aldi and they've got these containers that sort of connect and they were $14.99 for 5 containers.
And how many times did you go back?
I think I went 8 times. How's that for executive functioning? But I got 2 and then I thought, I am going to do this.
Yeah.
And then I ordered labels.
Yes.
And now
it looks really cute.
It looks amazing.
It looks really
good. Even my 11-year-old neighbour said, Mandy, this is amazing.
It's amazing.
And then I was like, when I got the labels, I was like, I do need hundreds and thousands and sprinkles. They are two different things.
They are two different things.
Yes. And then I was like, yes, I do need dried apricots.
So now you know.
So now everything is full. It's amazing.
Kirsty and Amy will be clapping their little hands.
I can't wait to show them. Because, because the neighbour goes, usually it's just a huge mess. I said, yes, it is.
Well, I clean my pantry several times a year and then you're like, someone just chucks half a packet of corn chips
exactly.
And then the Weet-Bix, you're like, brr.
Oh, look, you don't even ask. I've got, you know, rolled oats. I've got instant oats.
It's
beautiful. It's a work of art.
I've seen photos and videos.
And I think I always wanted to be that Mandy.
Yes.
But, you know, when we moved house and then I had the twins later and then I just never caught up.
No.
Not for 20 years.
No.
16 years.
No.
And then I'm
it's an effort. You've got to really.
But it was, this is going to be
joyous.
Money and time saving.
Yes.
And I'm going to cook better. And it's all of that. I can see it.
It's nice to have things that give you joy.
Yes.
That's like, you know, a nice house. And
yes.
And I know that's not for everybody, but it's nice to go, oh, my bed looks nice today.
Yeah, that's right. So I feel very happy about the pantry. Yeah. I'll take a photo.
Yeah.
And we'll put it on Instagram.
Life can be an utter fucking schmozzle.
But now
the pantry
I feel
looks
like the
good.
Pantry looks good, right?
Yes.
And it's silly. And I think I just didn't have the money for it beforehand to go 8 times to spend $14.99. But, you know, or I had Tupperware in the beginning, but then it was super expensive. Then I didn't have the same colour lids.
The same.
And, you know, I just never got there and I got there in this lockdown.
Yep.
So good that's it,
Mandy.
Everyone.
I mean, think that's huge.
I feel like it's huge. I said to Amy, I said, this is who I want to be.
Yes. It is who we all want to be. Yes.
She's the one who said sprinkles and hundreds and thousands are different.
They are.
So I was like, okay, right, I'll go and get them.
Yeah.
I kept coming back.
I prefer hundreds and thousands.
Do you? I prefer sprinkles.
See, there you go. Yeah. Kind of sprinkle bread.
True.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not using it because then I'll have to refill it. And no, just, you like, I don't want to use it.
Because I know this apricot. Don't touch it.
It's so silly. So silly. No, okay, that's it, right?
Okay, made you laugh?
Okay, I have been listening to the Dirty Rotten Church Kids.
Oh, yeah.
The podcast. And
I've got to listen to that one you tagged me in. Is it amazing?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So they're two younger guys that were ministers in mega churches in America and they've left. And so they just
their
say hilarious
Instagram memes.
I know.
Literally crying laughing.
So they did an episode where they said, we're going to do a 17-week part series sermon on Mean Girls, the movie. And they just use all the jargon and it just made me laugh.
They're very funny.
They're very funny.
Very funny, yeah.
Anyway, it's not for everyone.
Oh, no, no.
No. But for me, they gave me a good giggle on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did an altar call about, if you've ever been a mean girl, now's your time to come down the front.
That's an altar call I can get around.
I know. It's funny. And, it, you know, anyway, I sent him a message and said, if you want us on the podcast, we'd like to come on. I said, we get messages like this all the time, so you can ignore us, but I'm sending it anyway.
Yeah, good on you.
Boom. So we'll see.
Yeah, why not?
Anyway,
yeah,
why not? I said, if you want some middle-aged women with Aussie accents, here we are.
We've got lots of Dirty Rotten Church Kids stories.
Oh, they're, you know, they're fun and they're doing some, and I think,
they're
you
actually,
know,
they've got really good hearts. And
they do, and there's a different story leaving churches in America, I think,
I
to
think,
hear.
Yeah.
So it's different in that sense.
But
anyway,
it's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, I'm finding it fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. So, I found their Instagram and then I listened to the podcast.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't know who told me about it, but it's might have been you, but it's hilarious. Anyway.
Yeah.
I love it. Actually, my make a laugh is from a podcast too. So I was listening to this week's Shagged, Married, Annoyed, which you know is
your favorite,
one of my favorites. It's not as good as My Dad Wrote a Porno, but it's probably my second funniest podcast that I listen to. And there was just a story in there, and I've made P Friend Lorraine listen. I made my husband listen. I never make him listen
you didn't
to
make
anything.
Me listen.
No, you have you. I probably will.
Good.
Yeah, and it's just the most hysterical story. I had to stop. You know, you have to stop the podcast because I was laughing so hard. And I just thought, what was our lives like before we could have these podcasts?
I know.
They're just game changers.
They
and
are.
They're just stories that people write into them. Like, and just the way they read it. Oh. And this one, if you've listened and you've heard the Batman story, please tell me how great it was because I just think
how do people do the Aldi checkout without listening to a podcast?
Oh, I don't know.
And people are throwing the stuff at me and I'm like, I'm laughing about something else. It just makes it so much more enjoyable.
People who said to me the other day, but how do you have time? I'm like, I don't know. I listen to 3 or 4 a day.
Easily.
Every spare minute of my time, I'm listening to podcasts.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is why we're excited about the podcast festival.
Yes.
So tickets are on sale now. Yes.
Yes.
So if you want to know, Mandy and I have booked tickets to Welcome to Patchwork, Sizzletown.
And Michelle Laurie's True Crime.
True Crime. I'm not sure how many others we can fit in. I wanted to go to Somehow Related, but it's right before ours.
Yeah, we better.
So I think, no. Kate, you've got to.
Calm down.
Yeah, you've calmed down.
But this is like, I'm excited about the book, but I'm excited about this podcast festival because
so
we love
excited.
Podcasts. And to have a Melbourne festival, it's the first one and be included.
Oh, I know.
Anyway,
I'm just
that's
terrified
the Jam Factory.
People aren't going to buy tickets.
I know, but we can't help that.
No, we can't.
So we'll be going ahead. If there's 10 people there or there's 300, it doesn't
we'll
matter,
be there.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's at the Jam Factory. So, you can get your large popcorn.
Yeah, that's right.
Sit there and eat while you watch us.
Yeah.
Can't
awesome.
Get better than that.
You have your Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I think there's a Chicky Nando's out the front or something down the bottom at the Jan Factory.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's beautiful South Yarra.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's going to be so many awesome people there.
Yes.
I just think
we can't
it's going to be
wait.
The funnest
So we're going to interview Nellie Thomas.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah,
right?
She's awesome. Live. And we're going to get to go backstage at a movie.
What do you
we,
mean?
Won't we have to come on from the side? Are we going to walk down the aisles throwing Maltesers at everybody?
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. How could we have our entrance? Where are we going to sit? Like on the floor?
I don't think we're going to sit on the floor.
Well, you know, like at the front and it's down low.
I'm sure they'll put us on
like
chairs.
A little stage or something.
I bet it's Barstools. My absolute nemesis.
Well, we'll just
Barstools.
Have to stand. We'll stand.
Yes, we will.
Anyway, you don't need to know that.
No.
So and we would love you to come.
Yeah, we really, really would.
Yeah.
So
yeah. If you can. Right? Yeah. 4:15 on a Saturday. I think that's pee friendly.
I think it is pee friendly too.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, book launches.
Yep.
We're doing the 20th of July.
In Melbourne. 22nd in Sydney.
And the 22nd in Sydney, if we can get there. We're aiming on it.
Yeah, you know, COVID willing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So hopefully we will be there and we'll get to see some of you.
Yes.
I know Jude from Canberra
is she's going to come up.
I'm seeing Hamilton the day before.
Is she?
So she's
going to
stay in
there.
Sydney.
Ah,
so yeah,
awesome.
We'll be able to get her here. Her sing, we're shine, Jesus,
up,
shine.
Right. Fly up Qantas with Kate, then I'll come back on my own and I'll probably go on Rex or something.
She'll catch the bus home.
Yeah, probably. So I'll be like fancy Mandy on the way up, normal Mandy on the way down.
End of July is my end of my
is
Qantas.
It?
Yeah, because I haven't been able to go anywhere or do anything. So they extended our
yes, did they?
By a year.
Oh, so can I come into the
Qantas
Club?
Yeah, so we can go to the Qantas Club.
Yes.
We have to use it.
Best moment.
I know. It's worth just getting to the airport an hour early.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you, thank you.
We love all you peas.
And we'll
see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.